Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
I'd like for you to please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 50 and 51, the Word of God says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." That's the main five words I want us to look at this morning. Thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I want us to think now about that expression, thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. The word quicken in the Word of God usually, when we think about the word quicken, there are one or two different ways that the word is used that we usually think about. For example, the Word of God talks about us being quickened or born again. Now, the first two ways that I'm going to look at in God's Word is not what Psalm 119 verse 50 is talking about. We're going to come back and look at this. I first want you to see that there are two other ways that we usually, when we hear the word quicken, there are two other ways that we usually think of the word quicken being used. Turn with me in your Bibles to the New Testament. Let's look at the first way that we usually think about the word quicken being used, and that's in Ephesians chapter 2, first verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Word of God is talking about being born again or the new birth or being quickened by God. That is, the word quicken here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the word quicken means that God comes to us while we are dead in trespasses and sins. God comes to us and He makes us alive spiritually. The natural man, that is, one that has not been born of the Spirit of God, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The only person that ever loves God, loves the Word of God, loves the people of God, are those that have been quickened or born again. They were dead, and God came, and God quickened them and made them alive. That's what it means in this verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Look at the Word of God now. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now that's the first way we're looking at the word quicken, is that God brings us from death unto life. We're born again. We don't do anything to get born again. We're dead, and God comes to us and God makes us alive. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." the next three or four verses talk about how ungodly and how wretched we were before God quickened us. Then you come down to verse 4. After verses 2 and 3 talk about our wretched state before God quickened us, then verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace." Are you saved? So the word of God here in verse Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 5, both those verses, the word quicken means to be born again. Let me give you one other scripture. Go forward in your Bibles about 10 pages to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Listen, please, to verse 13. And again, the word quicken here means to be born again. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Word of God says, "And you, being dead in your sins." Everybody understand that the Scripture here is talking about being not sick. So many people have the idea that we are sick in sin, and God holds out His hand, and if we'll just take hold of His hand, we can get born again. We were not sick, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So he quickens us or makes us alive. If you love God this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that Jesus is your only hope of eternal salvation, then you have been born again. You have been quickened. Now there's another way that the word quicken is used in the Bible. And it's talking about whenever one is completely dead physically. This is talking about, we've been talking about being dead spiritually. But the Word of God also talks about those that are dead physically. That is their mortal body. This flesh dies. And then the Word of God talks about how Jesus, after he had died, that God came and God quickened him by his spirit. That is, his body that was in the grave was quickened. That's different than the new birth. Does everybody understand? So far, we've just been talking about the new birth. That's one way the word quicken is used. Now in the, turn with me to 1 Peter. Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 talks about Jesus being dead, not dead spiritually. Jesus was dead physically in the grave. And in 1 Peter, look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is a second way that the word quicken is used in the Bible. It means to bring from physical death to physical life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Word of God says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." You know who the unjust are? That's us. Who is the just? That's Jesus. "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Does everybody hear that? Did you know if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we would have no hope of ever being raised from the dead also. But the Word of God says that Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened. Does everybody follow that? That quicken is to take a body that is dead and to raise it to life. Jesus was quickened on that day that we call Easter, in that resurrection of the body of Christ. Jesus was quickened that day. His body was quickened. His body was brought back to life. I'll tell you, brethren, one day, all the family of God that have died in Christ, one day all of us, if we die before Jesus comes again, our mortal bodies are going to be quickened. They're going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be quickened and taken home to be with the Lord. These bodies, Back up in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to understand that we need to thank God, first of all, that He has quickened us spiritually. He has born us again. He has made us alive spiritually. We also need to thank God that not only does He have the power to raise us from a physical death, from a spiritual death, but He has the power to raise us from a natural death, to raise our mortal body, just like He raised Jesus from the dead. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead," who raised Jesus from the dead? Okay, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." You hear, brethren, that God is going to quicken your mortal body. This body, though it's going to die, this body is going to be quickened. It's going to be made alive. This natural body, though it's going to perish, it's going to be raised again one day. It's going to be quickened one day. And I'm thankful for those two quickenings. And those are the main ways that I usually, if you ask me about being quickened, those are the two main things I would have talked to you about, is being quickened, born again, and quickened being the natural body being raised. But there's another way the word quicken is used in the Word of God, and we better understand what that's talking about, or we'll get very confused. Back up in your Bibles now to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 50. The Word of God here is using the word quicken in a way different than talking about the new birth, and a way different than talking about the raising of the natural body. The word quicken here means to make alive or to revive or to restore those that are very sick spiritually. Did you know, brethren, that sometimes after the people of God are born again, sometimes after the people of God are born of the Spirit of God, sometimes they drift away from God. They just drift and drift and drift. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to give you a test right here. If I say that the Word of God quickens you, what am I meaning? Be careful. If I say that the Word of God quickens you, I'm going to tell you what I mean because I don't want you to jump off track. If I'm talking about the living Word of God quickening you, I'm talking about the new birth. Everybody follow that? It's Jesus that quickened us and made us alive. We were born again by the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, after we've been born again, after we've been quickened by the living Word, the written Word of God, the preached Word of God, can quicken us and move us and motivate us and revive us. And that's what the book of Psalms is talking about over and over and over again. Whenever David is crying out, in Psalm 119 and verse 50, he says, "Thy word hath quickened me." He's not talking about Jesus making him born again. He's talking about the Word of God that was given by inspiration of God, that the Word of God, when he hears the Word of God, sometimes it motivates him. It quickens him. Sometimes we drift away from God, and all of a sudden we hear the Word of God, and the Word of God quickens us. It revives us. It restores us. We're lifted up by the Word of God. This past Wednesday night, I tried to speak on woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. There have been no less than 6 members of the church that have spoken to me since then and said, "I was at ease in Zion." But the hearing of the Word of God Wednesday night and talking about the dangers of being at ease in Zion has moved me and motivated me this week. You know what happened? Their soul was quickened by the Word of God. They weren't born again. They were already born again. If you're not already born again, you can't even hear the Word of God. It's after we're born of the Spirit of God, after the living Word quickens us and makes us alive spiritually, that then we have ears to hear. 26 times in the New Testament, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He that hath an ear, we need to hear the Word of God. Why? Because as I listen to the Word of God, it will often quicken me when I need to be quickened. Had lunch with a man Monday and Friday. He and I have lunch together regularly. And he is a great man of God, and I love him with all my heart. And we study the Word of God, and we talk about the Word of God every time that we're together. And we just had a wonderful time. And he told me Friday, he says, "Brother Bill," he said, "I just feel so cold and so far away from God." Tears just ran down his face. And I'm telling you now, I don't have the power to quicken anybody. But I began to talk to him out of God's Word. And there was a revival that took place right there. And he could declare like David does here, "Thy Word hath quickened me." The word that I mentioned this past Wednesday night, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion," it quickened me this week. It had a profound effect in my life. It moved me. It motivated me. The Word of God quickens those that are born. The preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, it will quicken those who have already been quickened by the living Word, Jesus Christ. The Word, the written Word, the preached Word, has no effect on those that have not already been quickened by the power of Jesus Christ. If they haven't been born again, the Word of God is foolishness to them. But if after you've been born again, you begin to drift away from God, do you know what you need to say? You know what you need to do? You need to read the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to get tapes and listen to the preaching of God's Word. You need to cry out, "Oh God, quicken me with Thy Word." And then you can say, how many of you can say this morning, there have been times in your life that you can say like David does right here, "Thy Word hath quickened me." Oh, yes. Now, the sad thing is, sometimes I am under the sound of the preaching gospel, and sometimes it's me preaching that I am quickened by the Word of God, and it doesn't last long. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've been in the house of God, and I've been so full of zeal and commitment and dedication. I said, "Wow, listen, that first song that we sang and the second song, I had chill bumps just all over my body. We were just singing in the Spirit and singing with understanding, and it felt like, I don't know what it felt like, but it felt wonderful." You know what I'm talking about? The Word of God. See, the songs that we were singing were expressions of truth out of the Word of God. And as we were singing those songs, I was being quickened. I just wanted to preach. After the first song, I started to say, "Stop and let me preach right now." And then we sang that second song, "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand." And I started to say, "Stop! Is there anybody here?" That's the song they sang when I joined the church, was "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand." I wanted to stop and say, "Is there anybody here that wants to come and be a member of the church?" I'll tell you, brethren, the singing of songs. Last night there was a group of about 20 from the church that met and sang. And several have talked about how it prepared them for Sunday morning. It prepared them for hearing the Word of God. It quickened them. It revived them. It moved them. It motivated them. Thy Word. Isn't that beautiful? Thy Word hath quickened me. How wonderful it is that we have the Bible, that every day, you don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday, that every day we can read the Word of God. And the Word of God will quicken us. Now, sometimes you read the Word of God and it's just dead. You know what you need to do? Listen. Listen. Psalm 119. Go back to verse 25. Psalm 119. Go back to verse 25. Listen to what David says. Psalm 119, verse 25, he says, or the psalmist, they're different psalmists. I always say David in Psalms. It's not always David, but the psalmist here in Psalm 119, verse 25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto dust." You know what he's saying? My soul cleaveth unto dust. Brother Richard, is he spiritually alive or pretty sick right here spiritually? He's sick. My soul, not his body now, not his body's down in the grave. His soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. What's he crying out for? What's he crying out for? To be quickened. Is he crying out to be born again? Not at all. He wouldn't desire to be quickened had he not already been born again. He desired to be quickened because he knew what it was like to be close to God, and he wasn't feeling close to God. It's like the songwriter that says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" Oh, how good it is to be quickened by the word of God. To be revived, to be motivated, to be stimulated. There are a lot of scriptures. Listen, when I was raising my son, there is a passage of scripture that I had to depend on over and over and over and over. And it was from Proverbs chapter 13 and Proverbs 19 and Proverbs 22 and Proverbs 23 about spanking. It seemed like on Saturday he had to have more spankings, and he was the worst on Saturday than any other day of the week. And I love him. Listen, brethren, there's not a man on this earth I love right now like I love my son. I'll tell you, he is a wonderful man of God. And you might think that about your son. Mine's better. That's just me. Now, I understand. But I'm telling you, I believe I've got the best son in the world. I believe you've got the best husband, Sister Brandy, that I've ever seen. He's a lot better than any husband I know. He is the best daddy that I know of on the face of this earth. He loves his children. He spends time with his... Brother Richard, you're a close second, but he's number one. Now, don't all the rest of the daddies get mad at me, please. Do you understand I'm just trying to illustrate that I had to whip him and whip him and whip him and whip him. And the only thing that kept me going was God's word that said, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And that if you love him, you must use the rod. And it was those scriptures from Proverbs about having to spank him. I didn't want to spank him. It broke my heart. I cried. Teresa will tell you many, many, many Saturday nights I got in bed and I said, I don't think I'll be able to preach tomorrow. I just can't stand it. And I often said, you know, it's just not working. It's just not working. Well, I'll tell you what. The Word of God quickened me. That's the reason I kept on whipping. Because the Word of God kept telling me, you do what I say. God kept telling me through His Word, you do what I say. You do what I say. You do what I say. And brethren, it works. God's word is true. God's word works. There's not another way. There's not a better way. When I read the word of God and we pray, and I'll tell you, I believe there are a lot of reasons God is reviving the church and giving us, and we're in revival. One of them, I think, is because we pray what Jesus told us to pray every day. And part of that is forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, every time I pray that, I think, God, I've got some people I need to forgive. Do you understand? And the end of that prayer says, now, I'm telling you how the Word of God quickens me. The end of that prayer, after He's given us the prayer, He says, for if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now, brethren, that verse of Scripture, that Word of God, that motivates me to forgive. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. That motivates me to forgive. And I read James 1:27, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. And I read that scripture and I'm quickened by that scripture. It moves me to get out and do things. Do you understand? that the word of God is the word quicken, and the word of God is used in three different ways. Listen, we just read Psalm 119, verse 25. Come down to verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 40, he says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And then he says in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You hear what he's doing? Over and over he keeps saying, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me. And then he hollers and shouts and praises God, thy word hath quickened me. And then he goes back to it. Look at Psalm 119, verse 88. Psalm 119, verse 88 says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. With the word of God, with the precepts of God. He's quickened him by the word of God. Psalm 107, Psalm 119, 107, he says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. And the word of God just goes on and on. I'm not going to read all of these. Let me just ask you this question. I want somebody here to tell me a time that the word of God was preached. And you think, I'm talking about in the Bible, a time that the word of God was preached, and you think that was one of the times that was the most powerful quickening by the word of God that has ever taken place. Tell me, somebody tell me. Day of Pentecost. Thank you, Brother Mike. Right on track. Now, you could have come up with many other things, but I saw two or three of you saying Day of Pentecost. I'm going to agree with you, because that's what I wanted to say was Day of Pentecost. Now, Peter stood that day and he preached and he said, that same Jesus that you crucified. I'm telling you, brethren, he spoke words just as harsh as Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. Had God not quickened some people that day, they would have killed Peter that day. And he stood there and he said, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And the people were quickened by the word of God. And they were touched in their heart. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what can we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. And there were 3,000 people that day that were quickened by the word of God. And they were baptized that day. You know what moved them and motivated them? It was the word of God that moved them and motivated them. Let me give you one scripture in closing. Listen, brethren, this is very important. Turn your Bibles in closing to 2 Timothy. There are at least three or four other scriptures identical to this. But I want you to listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Listen carefully. It's very important. If you're not quickened, now the word quick and quickened, the word quick means that you're very active and you're alive and you're moved and you're motivated. That's the quick. There are several times, or at least three times, when the scripture talks about the quick and the dead. The quick and the dead. The quick and the dead. Do you all understand that sometimes the people of God are dead? And sometimes the people of God are what? Quick. I'm not talking about fast now. I'm talking about very much alive. There are times in my life that I'm quick. There are times I'm dead. Times that I'm very motivated, and there are times that I'm not motivated at all. Now, what do I need to do when I'm not motivated? I need to read the Word, study the Word, listen to the Word, be filled with the Word, because thy Word can quicken me. Yeah. Now, listen, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Do you know why I preach the Word of God? Do you know why I preach the Word of God? It is not to get people out of eternal hell into eternal heaven. Jesus has already done that. But I preach the Word of God that the people of God might be saved from a hell here on this earth to the joys of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Paul, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he says, I charge thee, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Do you understand what he's talking about? Jesus is coming back, he's saying right here, at his appearing and his kingdom. He's going to come back in his kingdom. And what's he going to do when he comes back as king of his kingdom? What's he going to do? He's going to judge. Who's he going to judge? He's going to judge the quick and the dead. Therefore, what's he say in verse 2, the first three words? Preach the word. Preach the word. I hope you've been revived today. I hope that you've realized today that I need to be quickened many times in my life. I need to be not born again. I'm not born again, but one time in my life. But I need to be quickened. I need to be revived. I need to read the Word of God. I need to preach the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God preached. I need to be a doer of God's Word, because God's Word can quicken me. God's Word can move me. May God help us to thank God that He's given us His Holy Word, that we might be quickened again and again under the sound of the preaching of it and in the reading of it in our homes, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
We'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 2. If you will, please follow in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 2. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." This is a prophecy of what was going to happen when Christ would begin to establish His church and His kingdom. You notice they're talking about the Lord's house. You notice in verse 3, listen carefully now, talking about this prophecy of the time that the church and the kingdom were going to be established. Verse 3 says, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Correctly read, that's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is the responsibility that we have as God's people to go and to say, "Come, come ye." That's what the scripture says here. If you'll notice carefully, verse 3, that many people shall go. That means that you're going to leave here. You're going to go out there in the world. During your daily activities, you're going to say to other people, you're going to go and you're going to say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." We need to realize that the mountain of God, Mount Zion, the kingdom of heaven, Mount Zion is much higher than any other place on this earth. Not just talking about, it's not geographically higher, because the mountain of the Lord can be in a valley. God's mountain, the Mount Zion, the kingdom of heaven, can be anywhere on this earth. And so it is that God says here that there were going to be many people that would go and they would say, "Come ye." We need to be saying to other people, everywhere you go during this coming week, I want to encourage you to say to other people, "Come." Say to them, "Come." Because God says that when the kingdom was established, there would be many people that would be going and would be saying, "Come ye." They're going to be saying, "Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go up." And all of us know that if we're going to go into the mountain of the Lord, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about going up. We're talking about, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. We need to go up to the mountain of the Lord. And then he uses an expression, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now, the house of the God of Jacob is the house of God, and that is called in the New Testament, it's called the house of God, it's called the church of the living God, and it's called the pillar and ground of the truth. So the people of God are going to be going, and they're going to be saying, "Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord," and on top of that mountain is the church. They're going to go up on that mountain and they are going to say, let's go into the house of God. Why do we want to go to the house of God? There are a lot of different reasons that we have come to the house of God today. We have come to the house of God primarily to worship God. God has been so good to every one of us, and we ought to want to worship Him and praise Him. That's part of what we try to do when we try to sing the songs of Zion, is we try to lift up our voices and worship God. First song that we sang tonight was Majesty, Majesty, worship His Majesty, King of all kings, Lord of lords. He is the greatest one that has ever been or ever shall be. And we need to worship God. So we need to say, come, come on, come with us, come and worship with us. That's one of the things we do in the house of God, is worship God. Come with us and feel the fellowship and the love of one another. But that's not the main thing He says that we come for in this verse of Scripture. And again, now that I'm not saying this is the main thing in the Word of God, but this is the main thing in this verse of Scripture. Come and let us go up into the mountain of God, to the house of the Lord, or the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. That's the main thing I want you to notice that He says in this verse. And He will teach us of His ways. That's one of the main reasons that we come to the house of God, is for God to teach us. I want to learn. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I want to grow in a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. Jesus says, if ye continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to know the Word of God. I want to know the truth of God. I want to know His ways. Notice the wording there. It says, and He will teach us of His ways. And the reason, brethren, that we need to know God's ways is because there is a major difference in the way of man and the way we would choose and God's ways. Unless God teaches us His ways, we will always be going in the wrong direction. Unless God teaches us His ways, we will never know the right way to go. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's some of you that are trying to make decisions in your life right now. Well, I'm thankful that some of you that are trying to make decisions, you're saying, God, please show us Your way. Help me to know what You would have me to do. Why are they doing that? Why are they praying for God to give them wisdom to know what to do? It's because they know that without God's direction, without God guiding them, without God giving them wisdom, they know they can choose a path that will lead to destruction and lead to trouble in their lives. So they're praying and they're asking others, please pray with us and pray for us that God will show us His way. We want His way. And brethren, if you're not seeking God's way in His Word, then don't plan to seek God's way in other areas of your life. But if you're seeking God's way in His Word, and you want to do what His Word says, you know, there were many people in Jeremiah chapter 6 where God did teach them His ways. And as they heard the ways of the Lord, they said in Jeremiah 6 and verse 17, they said, we will not walk in His ways. Now, brethren, when they refused to walk in God's ways, they were headed down their own ways, and it was going to lead to great destruction and trouble in their lives. So we need to pray that God will teach us His ways. We need to say to other people, come, come ye, let's go up to the mountain of the house of God. Let's go up to the house of God, and He will there in the house of God, He will teach us His ways. Notice the rest of the verse. And we will walk in His paths. Do you hear the difference here? As contrasted with Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, God taught them His ways, and they said, we will not walk therein. But in this passage of Scripture, the Word of God prophesies that there was going to come a time when there would be many people that would go, and they would say to other people, come ye, and let's go up to the house of God, and to the house of God, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. Those people that were wanting to bring others to the house of God and teach others the way of God and learn the way of God for themselves. They were all saying, we will walk in his paths. But then it's a serious thing to ask God to teach you his way, and then you rebel against his way. It's a serious thing for us to come to the house of God and for God to tell us what is right and what is wrong, and then we decide we're going to go our own way and just pray that God will have grace on us. I'm telling you, brethren, we're headed for major destruction in our lives and in our homes and our families when we decide we're going to go our way and then just pray that God will have grace on us. That's going to lead to destruction in your life. It'll destroy your life. We have to walk his ways. His ways are the only ways that will work. His ways are the only way that will work for the church. His ways are the only way that will work for our nation. Our nation is rebelling against his ways. Our nation, our government has turned against his ways. They deny his ways. They deny his laws. They deny his word. They even deny God himself. They don't want any mention of God. So our nation has chosen another way. And they have said, as they did in Jeremiah 6:17, they have said, we will not walk in his ways. Our own president this past week stated very clearly that he was going to do everything he could to promote gay marriage and the ban against gay marriage to be done away with. I'll tell you, brethren, that's an abomination in the sight of God. And how in the world we ever got to having a leader over us that is as ungodly as he is. And I'm telling you, he is ungodly. May God have mercy on our nation. We have an ungodly Congress. We have people in Congress that they want to make you think they want to stand against abortion. They don't want to stand against abortion. They could have a few years ago, but they didn't because they didn't want to. They're using it as a playing card. They're using it to snatch people around on a little chain to make them think they're going to do something. They're not planning to do anything. It's easy to look at the government and see what's wrong there. Much more difficult to look at our own lives and see, what about my way? Am I willing to walk in his ways? You see, these people that he's prophesying about here in Isaiah chapter 2, these people are people that are going to be going out there into the ways and the highways and byways, and they're going to be saying to other people, come ye. They're going to be saying, come. How many times this past week did you say to other people, come, come ye, come ye, come ye to the house of the Lord. Come ye to the mountain of the house of God. Let's go there and he will teach us his ways. And we will walk in his paths. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Look carefully at Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, listen please to verses 7, 8, and 9. And I know these words are familiar with you. But brethren, it's just so important for us to understand that if we lean to our own understanding, if we lean to our own way, if we're going to do what we want to do, we're going to be destroyed in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 55, listen please to verses 7, 8, and 9. Isaiah 55 and verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. I have my way. God has his way. His way is different than my way. Brethren, you must always be willing to compromise on your way. You can never compromise on God's way. When God has said something in his word and something has to be done a particular way, and you want to rebel against God's word, you're rebelling against God himself. So may God help us not to rebel against his way. God says here to his people, he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now, this is people that have been with God, but then they've turned away from God's way and they've walked in their own way. And now God says to those people before he destroys them, he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that an amazing God? That people that he has shown his way, people that he has taught his way, people that he has instructed in the way of righteousness, and then they turn away from his way, and God still says, let the wicked man forsake his way. Let him return unto me, and I will abundantly pardon. That's an amazing That's the amazing grace of God and mercy of God. And then he says, he explains in verse 8 about the reason that the man must turn from his wicked way. It's because God says in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." There are a lot of things, brethren, that I think ought to be done differently than the way I'm telling you as a man thinks. I can think of a lot of things I would do a different way. There are things that don't seem right to me. I'll just tell you, one of them is I think women ought to be preachers instead of men. I really do. Now, that's my way. Do you understand? That's my way. Women are usually more spiritual. Women are usually better teachers. Women are more compassionate. I can name about 55 things. Not that many, but I could name a lot of reasons that if we were going to do things my way, I would say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Let's let women preach. But that's not God's way. In fact, God says specifically in His Word, it can't be done that way. One of the major things God says in His Word that He had against Israel, He says, women are their oppressors and children rule over them. Did you know that's one of the major problems we have today? Did you know there are a lot of women that try to run their houses today? I'm talking about women that they are the boss of their house. The daddy, the husband, he can't say anything. He can't make a decision because the women are ruling the house. Now, that's a shame and a disgrace. That's not God's way. That's not the way God established the home. It's not the way God established the church. It's not the way God established the nation. If we want to do things our way, we're going to destroy our homes, our families, the church, and the nation. But we must do things God's way. And so there are a lot of things different. In fact, everything is different God's way than what we think. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are so much higher than ours. So we need to pray, "God, teach us your ways, and we will walk in your ways." And we ought to be saying to other people, "Come, let's go to the house of God, because there in the house of God, God will teach us his ways." Did you know that's my job? One of my jobs and responsibilities is to try to teach you his ways. That's part of my responsibility, is to try to teach you his ways. Even when his ways are not what I want, even when his ways go against our thoughts, our feelings, our traditions, and our desires, we have to do things God's way. And God will bless us when we do things his way. It's the only way that'll work. His ways are so much better than our ways. And we don't see it sometimes until we just do things God's way. And then always we can look back and say, "Oh, that was so much better to do it that way than our own way." Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want us to understand one of the reasons that God has given us the Bible is for us to know how we are to... If you want to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, then you need the Bible. Look first at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Listen, please, to verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he explains to him why he needs to listen to what Paul is saying to him, because God was inspiring Paul to write these words. And so Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, and God has preserved it for us today. God says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now, where do they say we need to be telling others, "Come"? I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. Listen, brethren. We need to tell other people. What's the main word? There's one word that's on my heart tonight. What is it we're supposed to say to others? Come, come, come. Now, why are we supposed to say come? Because we want you to go up on the mountain. We want you to come into the house of God, because in the house of God, God will teach us His ways. And when He teaches us His ways, we will walk in His ways. Because then God will bless us and be with us, and He will help us if we walk in His ways. So let's say to other people and do everything we can to get all of God's children to come to the house of God so that we can hear the Word of God and walk in His ways. Now Paul writes to Timothy here in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Verse 15, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I need to know what to teach you. And it is not ever, you are never to deviate from God's way. You must follow God's way. And I pray that God will help us to always realize that we must always teach His way. Every Bible study teacher here, as far as I know, every Bible study teacher is trying to teach God's way. And I am trying to preach God's way. And if I ever preach or you hear a Bible study teacher teach something that's contrary to God's way, then you need to study God's Word and find out whether you're wrong or whether they're wrong. But you need to sit down and talk with them to try to find out what is truth. What is truth? We need the Word of God to guide us in our daily lives. We need to know what is God's way. And the only way to know that is to study the Word of God. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why has God given us the Scriptures? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's given us His Word. Aren't you glad? Aren't you really, really thankful that God has not given us, just put us here on this earth as a church and said, "Now y'all figure out the best way to go. Y'all decide what to do." How would you feel, Brother Philip, if God said, "No Bible now"? He just says, "Okay, you've got an organization. Now y'all decide what to do." What's the problem with that? Oh, brethren, we would have at least 30 different, just from the people that are here, we would have at least 30 different ideas about which way to go and what to do. And so God hasn't left it up to us. We do not have the prerogative. We don't have the alternative to do any way except God's way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that God didn't give you a word, His word, so you can know how to get to heaven. It's not a roadmap to get you to heaven when you die. The Bible is so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, unto every good work. Now, go with me back just a moment in closing to Luke chapter 14. I want you to look at Luke chapter 14 because there's another reason to tell people to come besides for God to teach us His ways. In Luke chapter 14, there's a completely different reason that's given for God to tell His people to go out there and tell people to come. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Luke 14, beginning in verse 15, the Word of God says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden," what were they to go out and say? "Come." Now, is this a little different than that we just read about from Isaiah, the prophecy from Isaiah? In Isaiah, they were saying, "Tell the people to come so that God can teach us His ways." Now God is saying to His people, come to feed on the Word of God. We need spiritual food. And that's another reason that we need to tell people to come to the house of God, is that their souls can be fed with the Word of God. Not with jokes, not with ideas or thoughts or feelings, but to be fed with the Word of God, with manna from on high. And so they were bidden to go, they were sent out. And they were to say to others, come, for all things are now ready. There's a great supper ready. And they all with one's consent began to make excuse. The first saith to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused. They didn't want to go to the house of God. Did you know there are people that are not here tonight for one reason, and that's because they don't want to be here. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people that could be here tonight that are not here for one reason. They don't want to be here. Now, that's a sad condition. There's something bad wrong with somebody's soul when they're able to be in the house of God, but they're not in the house of God. They're making excuses. Call them tomorrow. Listen to all the excuses. All kinds of excuses. Did these people make excuses when they were called to the supper? Is that part of the reason that we're here tonight, is to have our souls fed? Do we need the Word of God to feed our souls? Do we need the Word of God to quicken us? Yes, we do. I'm so glad we don't have to go all week without it. If we didn't have a midweek service, I'd have to find somebody somewhere to get together with on Wednesday nights, because I need the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. I'm so glad that we have the Bible that every day in our homes, that we can read the Word of God and feed on the Word of God every day of our lives. What if the only time that you got any natural food was on Sunday and on Wednesday? Would you be here? Would you be here Sunday and Wednesday if the only time you got any natural food was on Sunday and Wednesday? Would you be here? Would you be complaining, well, I don't want to go back Sunday night? Would you make excuses about not coming back? Listen, brethren, the people of God are more concerned with their bodies than they are with their soul. And our souls need food just as much or more than our bodies do. And so the people began to make excuses. Verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There's still room in the house of God. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them. You know what that word compel means? What's the word we started out with tonight that you're supposed to say? Come, come, come. Compel them. Say to them, come. Encourage them. Beg them, if you have to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste my supper. You know, David makes this statement. He says in Psalm 122 in verse 1, he says, I was glad when they said unto me. Somebody called David, not on the telephone, but they went to see David, and they talked to David and said, it's time for you to get back in the house of God. You've strayed. You've gone away from God. You've wandered far away from God. Now it's time for you to come home. And David said, I was glad when they finally came to me and said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Did you know, I promise you that there are people out there this week, if you'll go out there and you'll say to them, come, 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 there will be people that'll make excuse. I understand that. But you keep asking people, and you're going to find a dear child of God out there that's going to be like David, and they're going to be glad that somebody said come. May God help us to go and bid them all to come. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. We're the bride of Christ, and we're supposed to say come. May God help us to go and say come is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to The Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193. Lord willing, join us next Sunday, and until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.